Welcome to the Patriot 1776. Hi, this is John Mady, and I'm the pastor of Victory Baptist Church in North Fort Myers, Florida. And who is the Patriot of 1776? You are. And I am. And so is everyone who loves America and wants to follow the principles of our founding fathers. The last sentence of the Declaration of Independence reads like this: "And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. If it had not been for the Patriots of 1776, we would be saying, pass the tea and raise my taxes." Well, help us win America back, just like the Patriots of 1776 won America in the first place. You should have pen and paper and your Bible, and we'll be giving our mailing address towards the end of the program. The question for today is, who should be in charge of government? And we were talking about verses in Proverbs that talked about this last time. And so this time we'll continue with those verses in Proverbs. And in chapter 28, Proverbs 28, verse 28, it says, "When the wicked rise, men hide themselves, but when they perish, the righteous increase." Isn't that something? When the wicked rise, when the wicked take over and they start running things, men hide themselves. No one wants to get in their way. No one wants to be seen by them. And so as they become more and more powerful, people begin to be quiet. And then it says the second part of that verse, "But when they perish, the righteous increase." They come out from where they're hiding. They're trying not to be noticed. But when the wicked perish, the righteous come out and they increase. And they're ready to do what they're supposed to be doing, everyday things. And of course, being a witness for the Lord. In Proverbs 29, verse 7, "The righteous considereth the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to know." It's always strange to me how that when the Democrats are in power, how that they always want to do things for poor people. And we can take the last 7 years, 7 to 8 years, and look at what they've done. "The wicked regardeth not to know." They keep saying, "We're going to help the poor. We're going to help the poor." And yet the poor keep getting more poor. The opportunities for them to become less and less. It ought to be that the righteous considereth the cause of the poor. Why are they becoming more poor and more poor? The wicked don't care. The godless don't care. The godless just want to have them have control over them, so that they will say, "Look at all that we're doing for you," and they do nothing. And then in Proverbs 29, verse 16, "When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth, but the righteous shall see their fall." Oh, that's good news. That's good news. Look at this. When the wicked are multiplied, when the wicked are in leadership positions, the more that they are in leadership positions and the more that they can make things happen, the transgression increaseth. Transgress against what? Transgress against the law. Whenever the wicked are in control, they don't mind going past what the law says. They don't mind ignoring the laws. They just keep doing what they want to do. And when a law just happens to be fit that helps them to do what they're trying to accomplish, then they just use that law. Otherwise, the transgression keeps increasing. They keep going outside of the law to do the things that they want to. But it says in the second part of that verse, but the righteous shall see their fall. This isn't just that we're going to stand back and watch and stand back and take a look and say, well, okay, the Lord said that the righteous will see their fall. So let's just stand here and see what happens. It doesn't work like that. When we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, then we can see their fall. But we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. We're standing back and just watching. And so we need to learn as God's people. We can't just stand back and watch. We've got to do something. And here's a good verse, the last verse that we're going to look at in Proverbs that talks about government. In chapter 29, verse number 2, it says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And doesn't it happen just like that? When the righteous are in authority, how do the righteous get in authority? We have to run for office. We have to work in government. We have to do the things that we're supposed to be doing and making sure that we're not just standing back and watching and praying for something to happen. We need to get in there and be the leaders of government. We need to get in there and work for government. And so it says that when the righteous are in authority, when the right-acting people towards God are in authority, the people rejoice. And the second part of that verse, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And we can just look at what's going on in America today. You don't see a lot of happy people. You see a lot of people who are mourning, and a lot of people who don't have jobs, a lot of people who are on food stamps, a lot of people who are getting help from the government. Why is that? Because the wicked don't care about poor people. And the thing that's so bad about it is that when the wicked are in control, who gets hurt the most? Poor people. And so we need to get into government. That's the way that we're going to turn this thing around. We just can't hope and pray that somebody good will get into office. We need to get in there, and we need to choose people who are believers. We need to choose people that know about the Lord and have them to be our leadership. And so we're going to take a look now in a different place. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm 11. And while you're turning there, I'd like to just look at a couple of other verses and see what they say. In Psalm 118, in verse number 8, it says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And in verse 9 it says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Well, in verse number 8, when it talks about putting confidence in man, it's just saying trusting man to make things go right. Man cannot do it. Man by himself always tries to control people rather than to lead people. And so in verse number 8, when it says it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man, it's better to do just that. Trust in the Lord. Man without the Lord are not good leaders. And then in verse number 9, it says it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Well, this is pretty close. in verse number 8, it talks about just individual people who don't know the Lord. In verse number 9, it's talking about people who are in leadership in the government. And it says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in government where lost people are leading the people. It's always necessary to have the Lord working in our lives and in the lives of our leadership. People who lead people and are not in the Lord, they don't know the Lord, will never do a good job for the people. In Luke 19:13, it says, occupy till I come. Well, we need to occupy till he comes, to occupy, to take over, to be the leadership. It's God's people who are supposed to be occupying and taking care of God's government. Let's look at Psalm 11. When I first began looking at this for verses 2 and 3, I would read in verse 1, and I'd say, what does that have to do with anything? And I, for a long time, I read that and wondered about it. And then all of a sudden, it came to me. First of all, we need to know that Psalm 11 was written by David. And in verse number 1, David wrote, in the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? And I looked at that and I said, well, that's strange. How does that fit in? Then I realized David was carrying on a conversation with someone. Some people were telling him, and we don't know when it was. We just think that maybe it was during the time that Saul was chasing him. Maybe it was during the time when Absalom was trying to take over the kingship. But whatever time it was, somebody was telling him, David, get out of here. They want to kill you. Get out of here. And David responded, in the Lord put I my trust. And that's what we need to do. We need to put our trust in the Lord. We need to do what he says so that we can take our country back. And this is exactly what David did. He said, in the Lord put I my trust. And he's saying to whoever he's talking to, how say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? And of course, when you're at the bottom of a mountain and you want to climb that mountain, it's tough sledding. But when you're a bird and you want to get up to the top of that mountain, then it's easy. It's just a short flight up for as far as you want to go. And it's real easy to fly rather than try to climb that mountain. And so that would be a place to hide. And so they were telling David, flee as a bird to your mountain. In verse number 2, in the psalm, in David's psalm, it says, for lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. And here it's giving a description of how the wicked try to take over countries and how they're ready to do whatever is necessary. For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They're putting an arrow in the bow. They're putting an arrow upon the string that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. And so, privily, they're not going to let us know. Godless people want to take over, and they don't care how they do it. All you have to do is look at the statistics of the different dictators who wanted to take over, and they were communist ideas, communist countries. And these dictators who wanted them to become dictators, they planned things. They didn't tell everyone, well, now here's what we're going to do. And they want to shoot at the upright in heart. Look at the statistics. All the dictators, how many millions and millions of people that they murdered just so that they could take over. And as they're heading towards this goal, look at verse number 3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? You know, right now we have a lot of people in our own country that are trying to get rid of the foundations. They're trying to get Christians to be quiet, and Christians can't do anything and say anything in certain places. They're trying to make it so you're foolish if you speak. We must say the separation of church and state. The Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, those are just outdated pieces of paper. They were written by old men a long time ago, and they don't have anything to do with what's going on today. Oh, yes, they do. But we should know that if those foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? As Christians, there are some things that we very much depend on. The very first thing is God's Word. That's a foundation, and the godless people are trying to get rid of the Bible. The wicked are trying to get rid of the Bible. It's a shame for a kid that's in school to take his personal time to read the Bible. He's made fun of. He's told, you can't do that. Get rid of it. Take it home and don't bring it back. And yet, what's the first thing that happens when we have something happen like what happened in Dallas, what happened in Baltimore? Everyone wants to get together and pray. Isn't that interesting? So what we need to do is to defend the foundations. The wicked always try to get rid of the foundations, to destroy the foundations. We've had so many things that Christians have started, and they're trying to destroy them. And if those foundations are destroyed, if we're not allowed to use our Bibles, if we're not allowed to read our Bibles, how many times have you read articles that about the Bible and you can't witness in public? You can't read your Bible in public. Oh, yes, though I've read articles that talk about those very things. And when kids are graduating from high school and they are going to say something about how grateful they are that they've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, you know, their speeches have to be checked. And nothing about God is allowed to be mentioned. How can that be? And if we're not allowed to do that, if we're not allowed to talk about the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, the Declaration and the Constitution, they were based on God's Word. And they talk about God's Word. They talk about the principles of God's Word. And here in verse 3, when it says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Verse number 4, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. And verse number 5 goes along with it. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. So in verse number 4, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. He's there. He's watching us. His eyes behold. His eyelids try the children of men. He checks out the godless people all the time. He checks out the saved people all the time. In verse number 5, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. You know, there's so many times that godless people want to talk about the prejudice of believers, the prejudice of saved people. And they talk about, oh, you just discriminate against this group of people and against that group of people. Oh, you're just not doing the right thing. Oh, you're just a hater. And yet, what does the Lord say? The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. The violence his soul hateth. And then in verse number 6, it says, upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. When you look at the places where the wicked have taken over, when you look at the places where they say, you can't talk about God here because there is no God, so there'll be no conversation, there will be no churches. Look at those countries that do that. Look at the communist countries that claim there is no God. The people are very poor. The people have no happiness. The people are always very sad. Look at verse number 7. The righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. God loves it when we as his people are right acting towards him. When we are right acting towards God, it says at the end of verse 7, his countenance doth behold the upright. See, before it was his eyes and his eyelids are looking at the wicked and looking at his children. But when we act right towards God, his countenance, his whole face, doth behold the upright. We should not run away from the wicked leaders of government. Remember Proverbs 28:4? They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. That's what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to run away and hide from wicked leaders. We're supposed to contend with them. We're supposed to challenge them that they're wrong. And remember Proverbs 29:2? When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Well, how is it that the righteous get in authority? Is it because the wicked people just say, hey, it's your turn to rule now. Go ahead. You take over and you lead the people. They're not going to do that. It's not a spectator's sport that we just stand back and watch and wait for our turn to bat. We need to get in there and be elected in service to our country. Because in being in service to our country, we're also in service to the Lord. And then when it says in Luke 19:13, occupy till I come. Well, we remember Occupy Japan. We remember Occupy Europe. We're supposed to take over and we're supposed to control those places. And it's the same thing that we're supposed to do in our country. We're supposed to occupy till he comes back. When he comes back, he'll take over. Don't ever forget about the nobleman in Luke 19. The nobleman left, and he left us in charge. And he said, occupy till I come. Occupy till I come. We're supposed to multiply. We're supposed to make being a witness to people. We're supposed to tell people about Christ. We're supposed to win people to Christ. We're supposed to multiply. To occupy means that we take over. We're the leaders. We're the ones who tell people what to do. And that's why when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn, but the righteous, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. So the thing that we need to be doing is taking over. We need to participate. We need to be in government. After all, it is God's government. God is the one who is supposed to be the leader of the world. That's why God put together those three institutions, the church, the family, and government. And so we're going to stop there. Next time, we're going to be looking at a famous portion of scripture that we've always looked at and claim, and it's quoted, and you know it. And we're going to look at a portion of scripture that reads like this: If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And of course, that's 2 Chronicles 7:14. So, next time when we get together, that's what we'll be talking about, and we'll go on from there. And in the meantime, we hope that you'll continue listening. We hope that you will help us to continue this program. And we hope that you will support us. Please call your station and let them know that you want us to continue. And let them know that you want us to be a part of your Sunday afternoons. And so now, want you to support us, and if you send any amount of money, we would appreciate it very much. And also, if you would help us to send more than just a small amount of money, if you send at least $25, then we will send you a book. And that book is called When Good Men Do Nothing, Who Will Speak? And that's what we want to find out. Who's going to speak? And so we'll send you our 92-page book that your host wrote. And if you send at least $25, we'll send you that book. And our address is The Patriot, 1776, 14505, Nathan Hale Lane, North Fort Myers, Florida, 33917. The Patriot, 1776, 14505, Nathan Hale Lane, North Fort Myers, Florida, 33917. And so, we'll be talking to you later, folks. Thank you for tuning in, and have a good day in the Lord.